your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
A little calmer. Hour two, out of bounds.
Got a drink. Walked around. You walked around. Quack got up and walked around the studio a little bit. You know, aired out his grievances in his head during the break, and here we are.
I disagreed with the committee the whole time on Miami and Notre Dame. I did. And I got more and more convinced that like they were not going to put Miami in because they just believed that Notre Dame was better than Miami. Then they put Miami in in the only week in which neither of them played. Based on how a third party that neither Miami or Notre Dame played performed, and then based on logical reasoning that they were free to use at any time before that. And this is where the Notre Dame discourse sort of gets going. 654 Roars in. We're going to talk Blockhaven in the next thing, but we're taking phone calls here. So if you want to get in, now's a really good time. My personal opinion is that Miami and Notre Dame, I told Ben this, late last week, that Miami and Notre Dame just were, when all the dust settled, the body work, that I think Notre Dame is a better team than Miami, but they're not better enough to ignore the head-to-head. They're not better enough to ignore the head-to-head. Now, that was true before Saturday. That was true when the committee convened after Miami and Notre Dame had wrapped up their schedules, again, with no team that either Miami or Notre Dame played the whole year participating in conference championship weekend. There was no adjustment to any data point on either Miami or Notre Dame's schedule, and they put Miami ahead of Notre Dame because of what BYU did. Laughable. And used a standard for BYU that was different than the standard they used for Alabama. Just, it is icky. Now, we've gotten some texts on this. Well, Qualk, you know it's the SEC ESPN Invitational. Well, I'm not going there because Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina got left out last year. If that was true, then SMU would have got left out and Alabama would have gotten in last year, even though they didn't deserve to be in last year, relatively speaking.
If the committee was caring more so here, and I'm sure it's something that factors in behind closed doors, but if they cared all about ratings, Notre Dame would be in the playoffs somehow. Notre Dame's in the playoffs somehow. It's not an ESPN school, per se. Notre Dame would be in the playoff. The fact that they're not just kind of shows me, and that's a whole different argument, they're kind of just doing their own thing, whatever that thing is. I don't agree with it, but they're doing their own thing.
My personal belief is that what they did was actually, and we're going to talk about this, what Notre Dame did after the committee selection, I disagree with every single decision and word that has been said or made. Like, every single thing that they've done, I totally disagree with. But if you are a Notre Dame coach, player, or administrator, and again, these are million-dollar decisions. If you're a Notre Dame fan, you should be livid, absolutely livid, that you were told you were in. No one dropped below you, and no one won below you. No one. You dropped because the committee decided to hold BYU to a standard that only applied to BYU and use that to justify bumping you down in favor of a team that did not play. Do people realize that one team dropped below Miami and they moved up two spots this week? And one of the teams they jumped didn't play at all? That just, like, if let's take the names out and take the situation out. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that last week Notre Dame was better than BYU, who was better than Miami, and this week, when only BYU played, that Miami is suddenly better than Notre Dame and BYU. It doesn't make logical sense that you would say that unless they were close together before last week, in which case you should have just used the flipping head-to-head to begin with. It's not that hard to get there. Now, before we go to the phones, the way Notre Dame has responded is loser behavior. This is spoiled brat, childish loser behavior. I've gotten a couple of very nice texts from Notre Dame fans. You might want to hold those. Because what Notre Dame did after is absolutely loser behavior. It is a child that's never been told no, that's told no. Let's count the ways. Let's count the ways that Notre Dame gets favored status in college football, okay? Notre Dame is one of two independents in the country. And yet, they get a seat on the committee that reviews the conference commissioners. Their AD gets a seat, okay? Just them. UConn doesn't get in there. Just them. And UConn will never get in there. It's not representative of independence. It's just Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets a deal with the ACC that's different from every other conference deal that there is. Every other deal. Where they get to have their cake and eat it too. They got the ACC to add them as a full member in 2020 to keep their season afloat and then just let them go back to favored status. They got to vote to bring in Stanford, Cal, and SMU as a full member when they are not a full member. They get the benefit of an ESPN TV contract and an NBC TV contract. They get two just for them. And they get revenue from the ACC in conjunction with ACC revenue. And yet, if they went to the playoff, the ACC would get $0 in revenue. Notre Dame gets favored at every single turn. They have favored status in every single turn. So you know what they do? We're not going to play on your little game. We're not going to be a little pawn in your little game. Well, you know what? You're okay being a pawn when you get your own TV network and you get your own TV people and you get your own conference set up and you get to be on all the committees. You're okay being pawns then, being a cog in the wheel then. When you get to play by different rules from everybody, but the second that the rules that everybody's playing by just so happen to go against you, we're not playing. We're not playing in your stupid game. We're not going to do this. And I understand the frustration there, but that is loser behavior. I lost a ton of respect for Marcus Freeman and lost a ton of respect for Pete Bavakwa and the administration of Notre Dame for not playing in the game. And they're not the only one. Kansas State didn't do it. Iowa State didn't do it. They had coaching changes. I disagree with their decisions for sure. This is a 10-win football team that should feel a gut punch. They should. They should feel disrespected and lied to and misled. They should feel personally and professionally aggrieved by the way the committee did this because I think the committee did them wrong. But the way they have responded is totally classless. Pete Bavakwa calling out the ACC, saying that they permanently damaged their relationship? With what? With some halvesy? With some halvesy team? Miami makes the ACC $4 million, and if they win a game, they make $4 million. If they win another game, they make $6 million. Notre Dame makes $0 and $0 and $0. What in the crap would Pete Bavakwa do? Pete Bavakwa would sell the ACC down the road for $8 million. He would. Permanently damaged everything. Fine, go. Go somewhere else where they're going to let you be some halvesy. Good luck finding a Big Ten that's going to let you be some halvesy. Good luck finding the SEC that's going to let you be some halvesy. Good luck playing Boise State in the Mountain West because they'll let you be some halvesy. Nobody else going to let you be a halvesy. If you want to stop being a halvesy with a whole vote, be my guest. You got the best deal on the planet Earth, bucko. Suck it freaking up. Suck it up. What a joke this is. Every single time anybody's made any decision about anything, Notre Dame gets preferential treatment or way overrepresented on these boards and committees. Way overrepresented. Every single time. They have never been disrespected. They have never been left out. They have never felt this feeling, and it shows. Everybody else has had to deal with rejection. Everybody, except Notre Dame. And the one time they get rejected, the one time that, by the way, their resume of what we talked about this, their resume of wins is very similar to BYU, who also got left out, and is worse than Miami or Alabama's. Their resume of wins is not good enough to just be in. They were going to be a bubble team. That's what they were at 10-2. They're good enough to win the national title, but their body of work just did not stand up if that's what they were going to go by. And the fact that you've got this scorched earth thing like, oh, we're so disrespected, we're just whatever. Nobody has been more overly respected than Notre Dame in all of college athletics. Sam, your thoughts?
Yeah, the whole Notre Dame thing was dumb. It's just dumb. I didn't expect them to behave that way. I'm not surprised they were mad and whiny about it. Opting out of the bowl game is ridiculous. Opting out of the bowl game is just stupid. Fun fact, for what it's worth, if you want to go halvesies in the Mountain West, they went 0-1 against the Mountain West last year because they lost to Northern Illinois. So you can go halvesies there if you want. You lost at home to god-awful Northern Illinois team. It's dumb. It's just dumb. If you want to go out there and whine about not being put in the playoff, that's fair. They probably had a gripe to be in there. They probably had a gripe the same way we've argued before of saying, why wouldn't you just put Miami ahead of them the whole way so Notre Dame knew what they were dealing with? You let them on here for absolutely no reason, for any logical reason, at least from the committee's perspective. You handle the aftermath in the stupidest possible way to where people would have probably been on your side in a lot of senses, and now no one's on your side. How is this the ACC's fault? It's not their fault you missed the playoff. Look at what Clark Lee said for Vanderbilt after they missed the playoff. Vanderbilt's a 10-2 SEC team, not a playoff team, but they could have had a case. They could have been annoying about this. He said, well, we should have beaten Texas. You should have beat Miami. You beat Miami, you're like fifth in the country. No one's having this argument about you. Win the games that you need to win. No one's going to look at you and say, congratulations for beating Stanford. Here's a pat on the back. It's not how this works. You don't get a pat on the back for beating, I don't even know, who else did Notre Dame play this year that mattered? You don't get a pat on the back for beating Navy. I'm sorry. Navy's a good football team. I don't care. You should beat them by 50 every year. You don't get a pat on the back for that. So to come out and be whiny and skip the bowl game and do all of this and then go on a war path against the ACC and everybody because you couldn't handle your own business when you already have all of the possible factors going in your favor every single year and you get preferential treatment every year is ridiculous. I agree 100%. It's just dumb. They could have handled it like a normal program and people would not be annoyed at them after this, but here we are.
Let's go to Pete in Charlotte. We'll go through as many of these phone calls as we can before we hit our break here. What's up, Pete?
Good afternoon. I think the whole thing, I agree with everything you've said, and I'm for sure, no doubt about it. Notre Dame, wow, I never liked Notre Dame, but I've always liked Marcus Freeman. I'm shocked by that, by what he's doing. So I think the whole thing could have been remedied if the committee would have been transparent the week before and said, here's our situation. We have Notre Dame ahead of Brigham Young. We have Brigham Young ahead of Miami. And we have Miami ahead of Notre Dame because of the head-to-head. So because of that, these three teams are tied. And then, for sure, I mean, not for sure, but if they would have said it that way, that you know, I mean, again, if Team A beats Team B and Team B beats Team C and Team C beats Team A and they have an identical every other metric in their other seven games or nine games, whatever it is, then you could have the teams ABC, BCA, or CAB.
Right.
But if they would have explained, and who knows if that would have, I don't even know if they're allowed to have ties, but that maybe that's what it is. Change the rule and allow for ties. Say these three teams are tied. And then, at least me, if I'm then a Notre Dame fan, and Brigham Young loses big and they're out of it, then at least I know, well, based on what they just said, that Miami was ahead of Notre Dame. All three are tied in the standings, but Miami's ahead of Notre Dame. At least then I don't think I would have an argument if I was Notre Dame this week. That's all I have.
I agree with you on that, Pete. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I think a lack of transparency in the process really hurt. I really do. Let's go to William, who's up with us next. What's up, William?
Hey, how you doing, Clark?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
Hey, I got a couple of things. One, I have been waiting for I don't know how many years for Notre Dame to get screwed because they ain't in the conference. It's been, if they were in a conference, they were in the ACC, they could have been playing for a title, and they would have gotten what they wanted. They'd have gotten the playoffs. But I have been waiting for I don't know how long to be able to say if Notre Dame was in a conference, they may have got it.
You know what, William? It may be the first time that it's happened. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. It may be the first time it's happened. Let me say this one thing, too, about Notre Dame. I've heard this. Well, then you shouldn't schedule Texas A&M. I heard this about Miami. If they had scheduled, Kent State, they'd be in. If Texas had scheduled Kent State, they'd be in.
I was going to say, Sarkisian literally said this.
But the reality is, if you schedule Kent State, then you have to be more perfect with the rest of your schedule. When you schedule Texas or Ohio State, in the case of Texas, as opposed to Kent State, what you're doing is you're giving yourself a loss. You're giving yourself an out. Best case scenario, it's a quality win. Worst case scenario, it's not a loss that's going to keep you out. If you win the games you're supposed to win, Texas, don't lose to Florida, by the way, then you can, yeah, if you, I'll tell you this, if you play Kent State and you're 10-2 and you lost to Florida, you're not getting in over Alabama or Miami or Notre Dame. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That's not going to happen. you're still scheduling to give yourself the best chance, the most mulligans that you can. I think that part of this is silly. Let's go to Jimmy and Easley, who's up with us next. We got time for one more here. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, man, how y'all doing today?
Doing great.
Doing better. Hey, you guys have been thinking about this all wrong. What really happened was as soon as last year ended, you know, the SEC whined about strength of schedule, and that's been the whole narrative of going into this year's thought process. So that's the only way we end up with five teams from the SEC. What really happens is that the deep state of college football has reared its ugly head, just like the government did in the deep state. Now it's been exposed, and all the committee has been paid underhand. They're coming out millionaires now that they've answered all the questions, and the SEC has now got five teams in. So it's really the deep state more so than anything.
Well, I mean, Jimmy, I get it this year. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for reminding me. I get it this year, but last year the SEC only had three, though. Like, if that were true, then Alabama and or South Carolina and or Ole Miss would have gotten in last year.
Two ACC teams last year when neither of the ACC teams were particularly great. I mean, SMU went on the road to Penn State, got absolutely obliterated.
I actually think what the committee did in terms of what matters in the sport, that the committee actually did a good job of protecting what needs protecting. We don't need, in a situation where a lot of teams are playing 12 games, we don't need the 13th game to have outsized weight. Maybe outsized weight four, I don't know. But certainly not outsized weight against you. You shouldn't be penalized for playing a 13th game when everybody else has 12. And then the second thing is the head-to-head matchups. If two teams are similar, the head-to-head matchups. And eventually they got there. Again, the reason I feel really bad for Notre Dame's fans and for Notre Dame's players, and like I do, I feel legitimately bad for what happened in Notre Dame because they were told that stuff didn't matter. And then by way of a process that I'm not even sure I could explain to you, it suddenly did matter. That's not fair to Notre Dame. It's not logically consistent or fair to Notre Dame. So I do feel bad about that. We'll talk more about this later on. First, though, we're going to talk Blockhaven when we return. Before we do that, let me tell you about Ingles, low prices, low savings. I'm a huge proponent of Ingles on a Monday because that's the day where you take stock of that pantry and that fridge and that freezer and you go, oh, man, where did that food go? Get to Ingles. I'm be going to Ingles to pick up a couple things after the show. You should, too. They got Starbucks in there on a dreary day like this. Starbucks hits a spot. Sam is nodding. That sounds like a guy that knows. Sam, use that Ingles Advantage card. You're saving dozens of dollars every time you go in there. I'm saving
groceries,
dozens.
Groceries, gas, everything.
Everything.
What more do you want? There's a Starbucks in there. What more do you want?
Use that Advantage card. Get that fresh produce, man. Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. Lines are jammed. Y'all hang on. We're coming right to you. First, we're going to talk Blockhaven on the other side.
Upstate Cycle in Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Come check out our kids' ATVs and dirt bikes. We also have bikes for riders who are still kids at heart, ranging from entry level all the way to off-road racing, dual sport, and adventure riding. We carry brands like Beta, Cove, SSR, and many more. Delivery is available, and don't forget to ask about layaway plan. Mention the Roar FM to receive $50 off our best price. Call 864-232-7223 for more info today.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Draw Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
When is a symphony actually a rock show? When the Black Jacket Symphony comes to town. Experience the era of Yacht Rock live as top-tier musicians recreate iconic albums, note for note, sound for sound, with stunning precision. It's not just a concert. It's a masterclass in rock nostalgia and sonic perfection. Catch the magic December 20th at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center. Tickets at walhallapac.com. Don't miss a night of legendary music. You'll never hear rock the same way again.
Fans, we feel it. Football season is in full swing, and the best place to get in on all the action is Underdog. You hear me talking about Underdog every single day, and there's a good reason for it, because I play Underdog every single day, especially, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all football days, all great days to play with Underdog. It's easy to play. Just pick whether your favorite player is going higher or lower on stats like passing and rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and much more. And if you do a good job, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. It's so easy to play, and it's even easier to get started. Download the app today and use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 plus, present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets at underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstrapproofing.com.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
Hey, I'm Steffi. You may know me from your social feed. I go big for the holidays, so I'm going to Famous Footwear because the best gifts are giving famous. My friends and family are going to love all these styles from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, New Balance, Skechers, and more. With over 800 stores, you're never far from the perfect gift. So make your list and make it famous. Come in today for buy one pair, get one half off at your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Steffi. You may know me from your social feed. I go big for the holidays, so I'm going to Famous Footwear because the best gifts are giving famous. My friends and family are going to love all these styles from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, New Balance, Skechers, and more. With over 800 stores, you're never far from the perfect gift. So make your list and make it famous. Come in today for buy one pair, get one half off at your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The tree is lit, the cocoa's warm, and the sports talk is rolling.
It's a beaut, clogging the beaut.
Merry Christmas from 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
All right, hour two continues. Out of bounds. William Quaggenbush, Sam Jones with you. We are joined now by Doug Johnson, who is the owner extraordinaire, sometimes toilet scrubber, he told me, at Blockhaven. Some have said that Notre Dame was trying to climb the mountain. Trying to climb the rock, shall we say. And they got knocked off by the committee yesterday. They thought they were close, and they said nope. You can do some rock climbing, some bouldering with Blockhaven. And, Doug, we're excited to have you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, dear.
All right, yeah. So you guys have been open a handful of years now.
Yes,
5 years.
Really, I think a neat concept. We've talked about it a bunch on our station, as you can imagine. But for people who are unaware, who just showed up today to the station, what is Blockhaven?
Oh, Blockhaven is one of the best climbing gyms in the U.S. We focus largely on bouldering, which is, you know, climbing without ropes. And so typically you're doing that with a group of people. We have about 200 climbs in the gym at any point in time. And you come in on an average night and there's half a dozen to a dozen people standing around every single climb just trying to figure it out and work it out together. So the community aspects of bouldering is much different than, you know, traditional rope climbing, where you have, you know, one person climbing, one person holding the rope. So it's a wonderful environment, you know, for everyone of all ages.
You talked about the 200 maps, the 200 problems. You call them problems, and I love that. I think in my head I was going maps, but you said problems, and I'm gonna change my thinking on that, because it is a lot of problem solving, and I tend to be really bad at solving problems solo, and I also lack upper body strength sometimes. So this is a double portion, where especially in that area, that Judson Mill area, where it's really growing, and there's great opportunities for folks there to build community as well. Yeah. I think you're in a great location for it.
Yeah, we were the first thing to open in there. It was the race between us and the guys opening the apartments on the other side of the old mill. And it was a pretty sketchy area when we were in construction in 2021. But it has really been changing over, and it's just become a really delightful place to be and to be a part of that community.
You've got the cafe.
Yeah.
So you mom doesn't know what to do with the kids in the summer. Go play. And it's a great opportunity for that as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the whole business showed up as really the best and biggest homeschool project ever. my wife and I have 7 kids, and we've been looking for years at a business that we could start together. I spent all these years in software and technology and building businesses around the country. And we really found rock climbing both as a sport that we all enjoyed, and then as a business, something that we could do. So yeah, my wife, built the cafe and is constantly in there and managing that aspect of it. So yeah, we believe in healthy living, right? In exercise as well as in putting good fuel in your body.
I love that. And you talked about it as being a part of a workout, as being part of sort of your daily, weekly fitness regimen. Okay. I know we were talking about, you feel very passionately about that, and it's great that you found a way to sync those two things together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I talk about it as, workouts that don't suck, because you get to come in and what are we going to be working on today? We're going to be climbing some stuff. We're going to take a yoga class and try to, work on our flexibility. I got a 14-year-old boy who was in the national championships, and he's incredibly strong, but not very flexible. Mm. And then, I've got some other daughters who have, competed nationally and internationally, and they've built all that up over time. So I love seeing what it does to young people and the confidence that it builds in them. In figuring out how to conquer every single climb and problem that they're thrown at.
What would you say the average person who walks into a Blockhaven? Is it a 20-something with a group of friends? Is it parents and kids? Is it a workout junkie? What? How would you describe sort of the average Blockhaven customer?
I mean, I can give you averages.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, our average is a 20-something-year-old male. But there's a lot of really strong females that come in there. We have moms that come in with baby strollers during the day, and they hang out around the gym and they're climbing together. I have a group of guys in their 70s and 80s that come in early in the morning. We open at 6 in the morning, and there's a dedicated crew of people that come in. So, they look like a little bit of everything, which is what we wanted. We wanted to build a community where everybody was welcome, and not only welcome, but really felt like they were a big part of it.
I love what you guys are doing with youth too. You've talked about building competitive sort of teams, and I know that's very important to you and very, very important to you guys, and you guys have done well in that, but creating an outlet for young people, not just to do it like on Saturday or, a random Tuesday, but to be a part of a team, to be part of a club. I know you're very passionate about that as well.
Oh, I love that. I love seeing that that community, because it's you know, another one in and of itself. The competitive end of rock climbing within USA Climbing, that's been growing dramatically. And we've been in the last two Olympics now, and still people are still finding out, really, it's an Olympic sport? yeah, so it's been wonderful to see the sport really just, you know, blossom over these past several years. You know, my second daughter, she placed 10th in the world in the World Championships in speed climbing. It's another one of those aspects where, you know, it's a 52-foot high wall for rock climbing, and the world record is right now under 5 seconds. So straight up,
man. Yep. And she placed 10th.
She placed 10th.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, we got fast kids.
I was gonna say, well trained in the Upstate. Well trained. I love that. And I know you guys have day passes. You've got monthly memberships. You got different ways. How can people, price points, things like that, where do you want people to go to get that information about how they can be a part of this?
Yeah, blockhaven.com has, you know, all the price points and things laid out. Yes, we're largely a membership business, and that's where we get the, you know, the most of our people coming in, but we also sell, you know, day passes, as well as day passes in packages, 5 and 10 packs this time of year. And as well, getting people started on their New Year's resolutions. We've got some, you know, special holiday offers out there right now to get people started, and, you know, to try and help them as we move into January. Like, you know, we're sending them constant updates about, hey, this is, you know, 4 check-ins so far this month. How about 5? How about 6? Just trying to get consistency, right? The best workout is the one that you will actually do instead of talk about.
That's a great point. I did P90X for a while, and I learned that the hard way. That workout was fine until, I think it was my third yoga. I was like, I got to do some less intense yoga. And you guys can help me with less intense yoga, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. By the way, this is where I'll note, you mentioned the Roar. You save 20% on your first day pass at blockhaven.com.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Yeah.
Doug Johnson, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for what you're doing in our community, for what you're doing with Blockhaven. Best of luck going forward, and I'm looking forward to getting in there. I was telling you a few weeks ago I was going to drop in. We had some family stuff come up, but we're gonna get by there real soon.
Yeah, you had a nice strong grip there when you shook my hand, man. So I think you're ready.
I'm ready. I appreciate that. This guy knows how to sell people. That's real good. Thanks, Doug. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be back for more. We'll probably yell some more about Notre Dame after this.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
It's that time of year again, and you're trying to figure out what gifts to get your family. We know everyone is busy, and who wants to deal with all the Christmas traffic and shopping congestion? Elite Custom Golf Carts wants to make your life easy. Come and see us and get a gift the whole family will love. With free delivery in our custom sleighs and complete with a big red bow, you'll see the shine in your family's eyes when they see your Christmas surprise. Stop by one of our 3 locations in the Upstate and let our elves, friendly staff, help you find that perfect gift. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Ariat delivers the best in men's Western apparel for the job site, the rodeo, and date night. Ariat offers a wide selection of patterns and styles, from plaids and checks to embroidered prints. Color-rich solids, Ariat's performance shirts are tailored with advanced movement features. From fabrics designed with cooling comfort and sun protection technology, from retro to classic, new west to old, whatever your style, Ariat has you covered. Shop Ariat at Harrison's and Malden in Spartanburg or harrisonsusa.com. Harrison's, the home of work, Western, and wow!
At Estes Heating and Air, family means everything. As a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years, we know the value of trust, care, and keeping your home comfortable year-round. From routine maintenance to emergency repairs, we treat every customer like one of our own. Because when you call Estes, you're not just another service stop, you're part of our family. Schedule your next service today at estesheatingair.com. Estes Heating and Air, family-owned, community-trusted.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit tigermovinggreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Spend your lunch every day with Kwok and Ben on Out of Bounds. We promise, they'll save you a plate.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter that serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
Weekdays from noon to 3, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, hour 2 continues Out of Bounds. William Quagamush and Sam Jones, blockhaven.com, blochaven.com. Doug Johnson, great stuff from him last segment. I would highly encourage you to go in there to Blockhaven. Before we continue to talk Notre Dame here, what bothered me about Notre Dame is that they were a sympathetic victim. They were. For 28 seconds. And then they did all everything that they've done is like
they were there, they had it. They had
they
public
had it.
They had public love for like the first time ever.
For the first time.
We were on your side.
When you weren't like a heavy underdog to Alabama in a national championship game and we all were like, okay,
man,
that's fine.
Yeah.
And I want to be perfectly clear about this. That I am very sympathetic to the Notre Dame cause because even though I said that I would have had Miami over Notre Dame all along, the committee did not. And I have no – it is illogical that the committee would have decided that head-to-head mattered just now after a BYU result that didn't have to drop BYU. Like, the committee made some conscious choices to differently weight – BYU's loss and Alabama's loss in a way that didn't make sense based on how they treated that one data point. Now, you could argue that even after that, Alabama should have stayed and BYU could have dropped, but the committee didn't do that. The committee didn't drop any of that. They didn't do any of that stuff. BYU beat everybody they played except one team. Now, that one team ended up being real good. But, like, they beat Utah. Their win against Utah is as good or maybe better than Notre Dame's best win. Like BYU was an 11-1 team that lost to the same team that I would have had third. I would have Texas Tech ahead of Georgia. I think Texas Tech's a better team than Georgia is right now. I truly do believe that. And they lost to that team twice by a combined score of about a combined margin of about 1,000.
And in again, BYU not a playoff team, but to their credit and should be one of their main arguments over a team like Alabama, didn't do anything dumb. Didn't lose to any Florida States. Didn't lose to anybody they shouldn't have lost to. They lost two games to a team better than them. That's an argument. Now, they could have dominated bad teams better than they did. Didn't really blow too many guys out, but they didn't lose to anybody dumb. There's value in that these days.
Buff City Soap, BuffCitySoap.com. Buff for the Holidays is live right now. Two things going on at Buff City Soap, okay? They've got all the winter scents and all the different ways. You spend $75 on soap, you save $10. That's online only. If you shop in store, any purchase, or online, you can win free soap for a year. That's wild. That's absolutely wild. Free soap for a year. And all of the different scents. If you want stuff delivered by Christmas, you can order online December 15th. I would argue you could just go to Harvard Village Shopping Center in Clemson, Shops at Greenridge in Greenville. Get your stuff in person. They are great stocking stuffers, great ideas for gifts at BuffCitySoap.com. BuffCitySoap.com. Texter says from the 864, the team that should really be pissed is BYU. They lost twice to a top four team. Notre Dame could have been in if they won games or win a conference title game. BYU is never getting in. I don't think BYU has an argument to get in. No one was making the case. And in fact, if BYU should have been pissed, people should have been making the argument that BYU is a better team than Notre Dame or Alabama to begin with. That wasn't really what happened. That didn't really happen. What I said all along is that Notre Dame and BYU, their resume of wins were very similar. If you look at the teams that Notre Dame beat and the teams that BYU beat, and even the margin in a couple of the games, that I would have Notre Dame ahead of BYU. But in terms of just nitty-gritty report, the one sheet or whatever, that like if we're talking college basketball parlance, like the nature of the wins, the caliber of wins that you have, Notre Dame's 10 wins and BYU's 11 wins are very similar. Now, when you watch the teams play, Notre Dame looked like a much better football team. They just did. And so I would have had Notre Dame over BYU on the basis of they're a better football team. But I thought Notre Dame was closer to BYU than they were to Alabama. Because like I said, Alabama was playing like dog poo at the end of the year. It was a doo-doo sandwich every game they played. We watched them in the SEC championship game. That was laughable. Georgia had some to do with it, but Georgia also benefited from Alabama not even remotely attempting to throw forward passes until they were down three scores. Like, I could not imagine a more spayed and neutered offense than what Alabama was throwing out there. Bob Barker would have been thrilled. Alabama, all right, 1st and 10, we're going to run it into a brick wall, and it's 2nd and 9. 2nd and 9. All right, Ty Simpson, we're going to ask you to catch the snap. Just throw it over here. Jeremy Bernard's going to catch it at his ankles and fall.
3 yard gain.
Third and 6. Oh, you gave him 3. Boy, a good spot there. Really good spot when he just caught and fell down. Really good spot. 3rd and 6. All right, let's set up a middle screen for Ryan Williams that he may or may not catch, and we're just going to punt it. I looked this at one point in the game. Alabama was like 1 for 5. This is in the fourth quarter, early fourth. They were like 1 for 5 on throws of 15 plus yards. They didn't even try to push it down the field. They weren't even attempting to do. They couldn't run it, and they weren't even trying to throw it down the field. So I'm not even sure what Alabama's game plan was there.
And this isn't new. This has been like a month of this. Yeah, they beat Auburn last week. But since, what, Vanderbilt? It's been progressively worse just about every single week. They can't run. Their defense is good, not great. They don't have a great passing attack. Ty Simpson has been worse week in, week out. At one point, Ty Simpson was in the number one pick conversation for a minute. Ty Simpson's not going to the draft now. I don't think he is. I don't think he's going to be at Alabama next year, personally. I think they'll push Ty Simpson out of there. That's a crazy jump from where we were a month ago. If eye test matters at all to the playoff committee, which in the past I feel like we've seen that it has. Now, context added to this, but with Florida State, eye test mattered there. Why does it matter here? What are you seeing from Alabama that points in the direction of that being a really good football team? Now, granted, they're playing Oklahoma, right? That's the 8-9. That's going to be an 8-3 football game. The eye test doesn't necessarily love Oklahoma either, but at least they have the elite defense to back up on.
What's the total on that game?
Low, probably. Should be low.
What's the lowest you would take an under on this game? Before I look at it, what's the lowest?
I think this is going to be like a 17-13 or 20-17 game, so like 35.5-ish somewhere.
I would say if it's 42.5, I'll take the under for sure. If it's 40.5, I'll think about it.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be about there, but I don't know if it gets to that point. These two teams can't move the ball.
I'm just looking at ESPN right now.
This, for Alabama's sake, for what it's worth, other than getting one of the group of fives, this is the only team Alabama can probably beat in this playoff.
40.5.
Yeah, so.
40.5.
That's about where I would have thought it would be.
First meeting was 23-21, so it got to 44.
Defensive touchdown in there for Oklahoma, right?
Yes, so, yes.
And
four turnovers.
And Oklahoma's offense has gotten worse since then. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be an ugly football game.
It's going to be very...
I don't see how Alabama moves the ball on them right now. I just don't see how they move the ball based on what we're seeing.
I'm not sure how Oklahoma moves it.
No, I think this is an 8-3 football game.
I'll be honest. Like, watching Georgia, I was like, Georgia's not doing anything. And I wasn't trying to besmirch Georgia when I said that, watching the game, the Georgia-Alabama game. But I'm watching, I'm like, Gunner's not doing anything. He's just running it for 4 yards every second and eight. Like, he's not doing anything. He's throwing little sideways passes. Gunnar Stockton was 20 of 26 for 156 and three touchdowns. They asked him to do less than nothing. They asked him to turn and throw it over there the whole game. He just turned and threw it over there.
Just don't give the other team the ball, and you win. They were going to win the game.
And that's what they did.
Handily won the game by simply not giving the other team the football.
Their scoring drives were 21, 57, 40, and 12 yards. Georgia Greg hit me up on Twitter and was like, because I said that I didn't think it was right to punish, for the reasons that I laid out. If you missed this earlier, end of hour one, beginning of hour two. When I started talking about Notre Dame, I blacked out, so I don't know exactly when all the other timestamps were. But early, about an hour ago or so, I said that I felt like it was not, it just doesn't make sense to punish a team for losing a conference championship game in terms of like getting into or out of the playoff and rewarding teams that didn't make a conference championship game. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because that's an unequal number of data points. There's nothing that says that if Notre Dame didn't have a 13th data point that they wouldn't have looked like that against Georgia. Do I think so? No, but we don't know. There's nothing that says that Miami wouldn't have looked like that against Georgia. So you can play your way in if you win by nature of winning the playoff. But if I thought you were an at-large team before that extra game, then I just don't think it's right to say, no, this extra game that nobody else got exposed in, that, by the way, is to the number three seed, that we can't let you in. But I did say, like, Alabama does not look remotely like a playoff team. I mean, not remotely like a playoff team. They have the resume of a playoff team. It's similar to last year in some ways. They beat Georgia. Like, that's the best thing. That happened last, remember this last year. Oh, man, we got to put them in. They beat Georgia. They get the best win in the country. They had the best win in the country. They won at number three. They won at the SEC champion in a building that nobody wins at. Like, they're the only one that's won there in years of any stature.
And as silly as it sounds, that game means literally nothing to me when I look at the two teams now. Because Georgia is a completely different football team. Their defense is completely different. They can win games defensively now where they weren't able to do that at the beginning of the year. And Alabama looks like an entirely different program right now. That would not happen right now if those two teams played in Georgia. How many points would Georgia beat them by right now if they played at Sanford?
Probably about 21.
20, 25?
What they just did.
Ridiculous how quickly it's turned.
I don't...
But it still counts. It still happened.
I watched Georgia in this game, and I truly did think this game was about Kirby saying, oh, for real? We have to do how much today to win? Cool. And he basically became Nick Saban Kirby smart, where he was like, we'll just punt. We'll just punt. And at some point, you're going to give us a short field, and we'll just score then. but we'll just punt. It's fine. Which I kind of, I just think it's like they were less than 300. The last two games that Georgia's played, Gunnar Stockton, as the texture points out, Gunnar beat Georgia Tech with 70 yards passing. The last two times we've seen Georgia, they haven't really looked all that great either. I want to see what they can do against a team that can actually challenge their secondary. Because the last two, they were not, they did not pay any mind to Georgia Tech challenging their secondary with King and those receivers. And the same thing was true with Alabama. They did not respect Ty Simpson's ability to go find those guys in the secondary. And Simpson was, even the passes that were completed, I felt like Simpson was just off. He was woefully inaccurate in the game. But, like, if you're asking me who can win the national title, you give Kirby a bump because he's Kirby and because Georgia has done it. But the teams that I'm watching that can win the national title, to me, are Indiana, Ohio State, and Texas Tech. Texas Tech, I'm looking at Georgia, and they're, like, dragging the lifeless corpse of their offense. And Alabama, they're dragging the lifeless corpse of their offense. And Texas A&M sometimes, they're driving the life. Like, they're just... These teams are dragging fairly impotent sides of the ball with, like, amazing other sides of the ball or amazing performances or amazing coaching or whatever. And Indiana's not dragging anything. Ohio State's not dragging anything. Texas Tech is kind of dragging, but hey, did you see their defense? They're the best defense in America. I think BYU's lines of scrimmage are fine, and they abused BYU. They wrecked BYU every snap to the point that they could drop seven and just stare at Bear Bachmeyer. Those linebackers, I mean, those linebackers were on the Great American Bake Off or whatever. Like, they were just baking Christmas cookies out there. They never moved from the second level. They didn't have to. They just waited on Bachmeyer to throw it to them. And sometimes they threw it above them and they would make one-handed catches. They would just make one-handed tip interceptions.
How do you even, you kind of feel bad for Bear Bachmeyer in that game, because what freshman quarterback is going to be able to do anything against that team, against that defense? I mean, what an awful situation on a bum ankle throughout the game. One thing on Georgia that I do find interesting about them, I don't know what to think right now, but I will say, of the playoff teams, how many of them have won games in the variety of ways that Georgia has when you look back at the slate? Tennessee game, shootout, no one could stop anybody.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have won that game, but they did.
So is it noteworthy that Tennessee fired Tim Banks today?
It's weird. It's certainly weird.
Just
I'm sure we'll get to that.
Go ahead.
A weird one. Ole Miss, shootout, score a lot of points, 43. Then you win a grinded out game like Georgia Tech. You let your defense basically do everything it needs to do against Alabama. They've won in a lot of ways this year that kind of shifted the season as it went along, where at the beginning of the year, again, defense looked undisciplined, secondary was really bad, period, and it felt like, oh, there's going to be another shoe that drops here after the Alabama game. There might be another loss, and credit to them. After that game, they tightened up, gave up a lot of points to Ole Miss, but other than that, dominated Texas in that game. Scoreline ended up being what it should have been, but that game was way closer than it should have been in the third quarter and was not indicative of how Georgia was playing, and then just physically dominated Georgia Tech and Alabama. I mean, there is something to be said for how Georgia has shifted the entire way they win football games throughout the year. And I do think, theoretically, they could shift back. And Gunnar Stockton could throw for 304 touchdowns if they needed him to. I don't really think they need him to do that right now, though.
I'm seeing enough from Mike Bobo right now. This is such a disorienting conversation for Georgia fans. That's why I love it so much. I'm seeing enough from Mike Bobo to think Bobo's got a 500-yard game in there.
Something's gonna shake.
He's got a 500-yard game in the bag.
It felt like they were holding stuff back almost against Georgia Tech. Like, that was an oddly called football game.
Well, same on Saturday. Like, after the block punt and the touchdown, they're like,
you didn't need it.
We don't have to score ever again.
Why would you show something?
Yeah, we don't need to score ever again. I'll tell you this, and we got a couple callers on hold. We'll get to you on top of there. I don't know if they're getting Colby Young back or not. I don't know his prognosis. They need Colby Young.
Bad.
Because this past game, you talked about the Ole Miss game. Mm-hmm. Like, he only had the one catch in the Ole Miss game. I think even having him out there, or not having him out there, has really hurt this passing game. And so I would like to think he can come back. Hey, hang on, everybody on the phones. Let me tell you about Toyota of Easley. Go online, toyotaofeasley.com, where their name means a great deal. Right there on Highway 123. Go by and see him. Talk to the sales staff. Talk to Ryan. Ownership's on site daily. They do a great job of service as well. That's why they got that brand spanking new ginormous service center. at Toyota of Easley, toyotaofeasley.com. If you don't see a car on the lot, either new or pre-owned, check the website. If you still don't like what they got, you can customize a car the way you want it, and then they'll ship it, and you can start the paperwork the very same day. Go by and see them on Highway 123. See the difference at Toyota of Easley, where their name means a great deal. Texter says, Georgia feels like Clemson did 2015-20, a continual build through the season. I kind of agree with that to an extent. More on this in Hour 3.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.